This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In podcast network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, a very special episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast, Thriller Thursdays, over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and for today's show, I'm going to be giving you a retrospect on the original Halloween series. We have the new version coming out this weekend, which basically deletes all the other sequels of this movie, but I still have a strong spot in my heart for the original Laurie Strode saga. So for this episode, I'm going to be mainly looking at Halloween, Halloween 2, and then Halloween H2O. I'll make a small reference to Halloween Resurrection because it is the canon, but that movie is a piece of shit, and Laurie's story ends perfectly with Halloween H2O, but I'll explain that more, alright? Let's do this first right now. Let's get into Halloween, alright?
Halloween. Newsweek magazine calls it a superb exercise in the art of suspense, the most frightening flick in years. Halloween. The Chicago Sun-Times says it's so scary, I would compare it to Psycho. It's the kind of picture, says the Chicago Tribune, that forces you to sleep with the lights on. A masterpiece, says New York's New Times. Halloween, from Compass International, rated R.
All right, so Halloween was made in 1978, written by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, directed by John Carpenter, and it tells the story of a young boy, Michael Myers, who has brutally murdered his sister, and we cut to many years later, and his doctor, Sam Loomis, played by Donald Pleasance, he goes to the hospital because he's been ordered by the hospital administrators that he has to move Michael Myers to a different facility. Michael Myers escapes and then goes back to the same hometown where he murdered his sister, and he's there to basically cause rampage. And his main target is Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis, and he stalks her and her friends, and it is a frightening masterpiece. I think Roger Ebert said that he compared it to Psycho, and I agree. This is the movie that really set in groundwork every other horror slasher film that you have seen, and I don't think any have done better. There are some that come close, but I don't think any has come better. This was shot with a budget of $300,000. Most of that budget went into the Panavision camera that they used. That's why you have that really cool 2x35 aspect ratio that was shot by Dean Cundey. And it just has this tension and this dread. The music by John Carpenter, his simple Halloween theme song, is just simple. Simple piano riffs right there. But it just works tremendously. This is a slasher film. There's a lot of kills in this, but there's very little gore or nudity in this. I recently rewatched this in theaters with a crowd of people, and I was kind of surprised how bloodless this is. But there was a group of kids sitting in front of me, and they had been no more than their early 20s, and they were jumping at all the right moments. I mean, they were even jumping at moments that were not necessarily scary. And there are some great images of Michael Myers in the shadow that gave people, like, really big dread. I'm not going to talk too much about Michael Myers' character. We all know that his mask was a Captain Kirk mask from Star Trek, and that they just basically opened up the eye holes and painted the face white. There's really not much more I can really say about Halloween except that it's a classic. Everyone knows and appreciates everything that was in that movie. The original title of this of Halloween was originally called The Babysitter Murders. Now, keep in mind too, John Carpenter, he has only done Death Star and Assault on Precinct 13. These are the only two movies that he's done. And he shot Halloween in about 20 days. And what came out of that was really brilliant. Being the fact that they were so low budget and short on time, they really had to be creative with everything they did. There's a lot of cool, like, wide shots in this. And that's what really irritates me a lot now. Not just with horror films, but with every other modern film, is that everything's done, like, within close-ups or shaky cameras. If there is a scare, it's just a random jump scare, and it really just gets on my nerve, and it pissed me off a lot that movies do this. And it even does this in later Halloween movies, which I will describe later. But yeah, Halloween, if I had to give it out of 5 stars, 5 out of 5 stars. I think this movie is a masterpiece, and it doesn't matter what age you see this at, it still is going to be a terrifying movie. And what makes this film even more terrifying for me is the ending of this, alright? So, yes, if you haven't seen a Halloween movie before, or any of these films, yes, I'm going to be giving spoilers here, folks. At the end of Halloween, Sam Loomis shoots Michael Myers, and he falls off, the deck upstairs, and he lands, and Sam goes to look where he landed, and he disappears. And the last shots of the movie is just scenes of the town of Haddonfield, and their house, and the stairs, and you just hear that breathing. And it ends that way. It's a very ambiguous ending. I personally think that Halloween 2 should have been Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, because originally Deborah Hill and John Carpenter envisioned this to be an anthology movie where each film took place around Halloween, but they had a different storyline. And I think if they would have just brought in Halloween 3 and made it this anthology film, it would have been a much better series. But no, since Halloween made a lot of money, like I said before, it was made for under $300,000, but it grossed like $7.5 million. It made a shitload of money. So since this movie made a lot of money, they wanted to do a sequel to this. And John Carpenter really wasn't into doing a sequel for this though, but you know, I think he was making The Fog, and any extra money he could have to help make that movie, he was gonna take it. So he wrote Halloween 2.
A dark house. A woman alone, a man with a knife. It all began with Halloween, but the night he came home is not over yet. Jamie Lee Curtis, Donald Pleasence, Halloween 2. A Halloween treat. The trick is to survive. Halloween 2, rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
It comes out in 1981, and it takes place right around the same time. I mean, this could have been called Halloween Part 2, but it takes place right after, you know, Michael's basically escaped, Laurie's been hurt, so she's been sent to a hospital, Sam Loomis is still on the hunt to try and find out where he is, and this is where you get a lot of the mythos of Michael Myers' character. There's a scene where Loomis and a few cops, they investigate a school that Myers has been to, and they see the word Samhain written on there. And so it brings in a lot of like mythological and ghostly atmosphere to the series. And you also find out too that Michael Myers is the brother of Laurie Strode, and that's why he's after her, because he killed his sister, and now he's going after the other sister. So it brings that element together. I do like the fact that Dean Cundey, who shot Halloween, is back for Halloween 2, and it still has a lot of those wide shots. Universal distributed this movie, so it does have a bigger budget. So they can add on more of the gore effects. I think Rick Rosenthal, did a really great job trying to basically copy John Carpenter. And here's the weird thing too, he originally liked Carpenter in the first one, didn't want to have like a lot of gore in this movie, but Carpenter actually insisted that they went back and actually added a bit more gory element to this. As much as I like that as a continuation of the first movie, I don't think Halloween 2 really adds anything extra to the story. What I like best about the first Halloween is you really didn't know why he was doing this, alright? There was no rhyme or reason to why he was committing these crimes. Unlike Rob Zombie's recent movies from, I think it was 2007, where they tried to add a backstory to it. I never felt the backstory really added any weight to it. And I think in this one too, trying to have somewhat of a backstory doesn't really add anything to it either. But there's still a good amount of tension. I think the opening credits of Halloween 2 is really kind of cool. I like the use of the song Mr. Sandman being played before the opening credits and at the end are actually really kind of a lot of fun. But yeah, the opening credits of the film, you have the Halloween theme and it's updated by Alan Horth, I think I'm saying the name right. And I like the fact too that in the credit sequence for Halloween 2, you have a pumpkin that slowly opens up and you see a skull inside. And I remember as a kid how freaky that was. That was just really just scared the hell out of me. But in Halloween 2, the movie ends where Laurie Strode shoots Michael Myers in the eyes, and he's bleeding out, and I think Michael Myers shoots Sam Loomis, or he stabs him somehow, not before Sam Loomis shoots him, and Michael Myers ends up burning up in a hospital. So Sam Loomis and Laurie Strode, they escape, and that's kind of the end of Michael Myers. So after they were done with that Michael Myers storyline, John Carpenter, Deborah Hill, and director Tommy Lee Wallace, they wanted to get back into doing this series as an anthology, and that's why they made Halloween 3, The Season of the Witch, and this one is a completely different storyline. I'm not going to get into the storyline at all with this one, but it involves a bunch of really bad corporations making masks to kill kids, alright? And the movie was a bomb because people wanted Michael Myers back in the midst, and it wasn't until, I think it was 89, that we found Michael Myers coming back, and that storyline said that Laurie Strode died of cancer, and now we're dealing with her niece, Jamie Lloyd. I think it's Jamie Lloyd. I know that the actress is Daniel Harris, and maybe I'm saying Danny Lloyd, but I think that might have been the little girl that she played in Last Boy Scout. I'm not quite sure if it was, but anyways, it's her storyline, but I'm not going to worry about that. The next movie, you know, let's do this, folks. I forgot to do this. Let's go ahead and take a small break right now. We're going to play just some quick ads from some of the great podcast shows, and then I'll be back with my thoughts about Halloween H2O, okay?
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Fox Times at Richmond High, Footloose at Breakfast Club. John Cusack would say anything as he held his boombox above. Retro Cinema is what we love.
Retro Cinema Podcast.
No one has ever known we were among you. Until now.
I'm gonna get that gun of mine, and I'm gonna change you from a rooster to a hen with one shot.
Yes. What do you call this?
Well, this piece is called Lick My Love Pump.
You have demonstrated every loathsome characteristic of the male personality and even discovered a few new ones.
They're here. Hi, we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We were both teenagers in the 1980s. That was a long time ago.
And we only do 80s movies that we loved then and we still love now.
Yep, I'm Gidget Von LaRue.
And I'm Angry Man.
And we are the Retro Cinema Podcast.
Yep, you can find us at theretrocinema.com and just Google us for any listening information you need.
Oh, Connie, you're all muck and muscle.
Oh, Heather, please.
This podcast is a proud member of the LAM Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
That's correct, Brendan. On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
Good job, Brendan.
Thank you, JD. It's my goal to make you proud. You're the father, after all.
Yes, and I'm very proud. You can listen to the In Session Film podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com.
Brendan, will you please let me complete just one?
Nope.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Listen to the In Session Film podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Hey,
no.
Go cry at Midnight Special again, okay? Okay. That's what you're
good for. I will. You know what? And I'll do it while pummeling you. I'll do both at the same time.
How are you going to pummel me? Yeah,
I don't buy that. That's just how it works.
Welcome back, everybody, to Cinema Recall's Thriller Thursdays. Welcome back to the Halloween series. Finally, we come to the year 1998. It's been 20 years since the original movie came out, and they decided to make Halloween H2O.
My brother killed my sister.
How'd he do that?
With a really big kitchen knife.
This time, when the face of good meets the face of evil, there's gonna be a fight. To the finish. Halloween H2O.
Now, this was released by Dimension, and this came out a few years after Scream. And Scream was a huge hit for Dimension / Miramax. Huge hit. So much that there's been other copycats, and so when there was a chance to do a new Halloween movie, the studio picked up on it right away. And this does feel like, if this didn't have Michael Myers in there, this would have definitely felt like one of those ripoffs. Of Scream. This one was directed by Steve Miner, and I think the end it had additional credits here from Robert Zappa and Matt Greensburg. And in this story, Laurie Strode has assumed a different identity and is now, a headmaster of this prep school. And her son is played by, I can't believe I'm forgetting that guy's name right now, Josh Hartnett. She has a son played by Josh Hartnett, and she's been trying to live her life as normal as she can, but she's still haunted by the past. And her son is just irritated that every Halloween he can't go out and be with his friends because her mother is still afraid of Michael Myers coming back to haunt and kill everyone. And the movie, I think, is alright, but it just suffers too much of trying to be in that same Scream vibe with the teenagers. I think the teenagers in this one are very disposable. There's nothing at all interesting or exciting to say about any of them. It just kind of suffers a little bit, but I still have fun watching this movie. I do. Unlike Halloween 1 and 2, which kind of feels like one continuous movie, I mean, this one is definitely a sequel. Like, it's in 4K, many years later. The Michael Myers in this one, he just feels like, he looks actually like, I don't know, like a 90s emo kid, alright? He's got like this really bad hair, and the mask is just not as scary. And the other two movies, they were done in 2x35 fast ratio. This is done in 1x85, and it doesn't have the many wide shots. The kills are mainly meant on gore and not about tension on this one here. And I don't think it really adds too much to the storyline of it. I do like the fact that Laurie Strode does go ahead and try to stand up to Michael Myers near the end, and they have this big, huge fight, and that's really kind of cool. But everything else up to it, though, it just didn't really... I don't know. There were some critics saying that it was on par with the original, and I totally disagree with that. I think it's a fine movie, and it's definitely a good chapter to end Laurie Strode's character on, because, like I said before, she actually does fight back and is able to kill off Michael Myers once and for all. But for a slasher horror film, if you're a fan of Halloween 1 and 2, yeah, you definitely need to watch this one because it does wrap up the storyline very well. But I just didn't think it was all really that perfect, though. I forgot to mention earlier, Halloween 2 out of 5 stars, I'll give it a solid 3.5. I think for Halloween H2O, I think I've got to get this one closer to around like 2.5. It could have been really close, but not as good, alright? And which leads me right now into Halloween Resurrection. And I'm only going to talk about the first part of the movie because, as I mentioned before, at the end of Halloween H2O, Laurie Strode basically pins Michael Myers with his van and he's stuck. And there's a moment where they both reach out hands when she calls it to Michael. And then she takes an axe, cuts his head off, boom, the end. So, since that movie made a lot of money, Mustafa Arkad, who owns the rights to Halloween, and if I messed up his name, I apologize, he definitely wanted to continue the series again. They brought back Rick Rosenthal, who directed Halloween 2, to direct Halloween Resurrection. And what really pissed me off about this movie was how they decided to resurrect Michael Myers' character. So, in Halloween Resurrection, it turns out that in Halloween H2O, Michael Myers was suddenly able to find someone and put his mask on him instead and was able to escape. So the person that Laurie Strode killed wasn't necessarily Michael Myers. It was just a random person. This is a bad story writing, folks, because when he's pinned to the car, he's pinned there, and she calls out Michael, you know, he looks up, all right, and he's, like, reaching out to her. Now, if this guy was alive, even if he had a gauge on his mouth, he would be able to, like, scream something, all right? I don't care how tight you have that gauge on your face, you can mumble something right there. So, if this was a different person, there's no way in hell she would not know about it. So anyways, she kills the wrong person, and she feels guilty about it. I'm talking about Halloween Resurrection. She feels guilty about it, and in the opening scene, she gets attacked and is hung by Michael Myers. Not really hung, she basically makes a mistake and accidentally hangs herself. But it's just, it's a really bad ending to that character. That's all I'm going to say about Halloween Resurrection. Don't watch the movie. You can watch the Cinema Snobs review of Halloween Resurrection. I definitely recommend that, but you don't need to watch the movie, alright? The only thing you can use from that movie is a Busta Rhymes gif of Trick or Treat, Motherfucker, and that's really it. So that's really all I have to say about the Halloween series. I'm excited to see this new version and where they go with the storyline, but I definitely want to talk briefly just about the other movies in the series, because I don't want people to forget about them. I mean, I have no problems with filmmakers wanting to change around the storylines, but I just don't want anyone else to forget about the original storyline. And I'm hoping that with this new version, you know, they will make it better. You know, they will actually make it better, and they will make it a movie as good as the first one, because that first one is indeed a classic, and that I don't think should ever be forgotten about. And I don't think it will be. I think for a long time, people will still watch the Halloween series. And I know a lot of people that still love Halloween number 4 and number 5, and even number 6, alright? Goddamn, there's a lot of these movies. But anyways, folks, that's it right now. I'm the Vern. I'm going to basically be signing off right now. Please check out all our other podcasts over at thatmomentin.com. We have, of course, TV Critics Sleep Bad, Asian Cinema Film Club, Game Warp, Cinema Recap, and us, Cinema Recall. Find us at thatmomentin.com. We are available on Spotify, Stitcher, Podomatic, iTunes, Player FM, Cinema Recall Podcast. You can find us on Twitter. We are at @cinema_recall. Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall. That's it right now for me. I'm your host, The Vern. I'm going to be signing off right now, and I hope you have a very good Halloween. Good day, everybody.